this morning, I just want to lead off with the title of the sermon, It's Your Time. It's Your Time. I've got some good news. Many of you that have been waiting for extended seasons are just about to be revealed. It's about your revealing time this morning. I want to encourage everyone under the sound of my voice with the Psalm 105. I'm going to read verses 16 through 22, a little more than you have in your bulletin. It says, He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased and teach his elders wisdom. Look at the text. He brought famine to the land. He took away their food supply. He sent a man ahead of them. We're going to talk this morning about the fact that God always sends the supply before the demand. And with regard to your life and your situation right now, you have to realize you're right on time. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what the devil has told you, what your nearest and dearest have told you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you're right on time. Now, in this story, we're looking at Joseph. I don't know if you remember, but Genesis chapters 37 to 51 all deal with Joseph. He's a young man of dreams and a very highly favored young man by his father. He's given a coat of many colors and a great dream that one day all of his brothers would bow before him. And then he was taken and just mercilessly stripped of that garment. And did you know God sometimes will bring a problem into your life to get the coat off of you that was put on you? Joseph wore a coat of many colors, but did you know that coat was going to be a constriction to him, and that coat was going to be a limit to what he could do, and God sent a problem to get that coat off of Joseph. And sometimes he'll send difficulties into our lives to take off anything that's constricting us or limiting us so that he can prepare us for a greater garment. Someone say amen. See, sometimes we need a problem to get us out of the coat that someone else put on us. Anyone ever put on you expectations? The great poet Wilke once said, "Oh, how children dance to the unlived lives of their parents." Sometimes mama put a restrictive coat on you. Sometimes daddy put a restrictive tunic on you and said, "You're going to be this, honey, you're going to be that." Did you know God will bring a problem that will get that coat off you? And Joseph went from the promise to the pit to Potiphar's house to prison and finally to prominence. Most of us have that story memorized, but I want to take you back because Psalm 105, 16, and 17 give some interesting principles that apply to us. First of all, God sends the supply before the demand. Did you know that God sent Joseph to Egypt before there was any hunger for him or any need for him? God always sends the supply before the demand. It's a very weird kingdom principle. It's counterintuitive, isn't it? In the world, there's a need, and then we look at what the need is, and then we supply the need. God always sends the supply before the demand. He sent Joseph into Egypt before Egypt ever thought it needed a Joseph. And God is sending in your life, He's sending the supply before the demand. Did you know He sent Moses as a baby and floated him in a little hut right on into Pharaoh's daughter, and God sent a deliverer before Egypt even knew she needed a deliverer. God's people didn't know it, but God was always at work redemptively supplying. He puts the supply before the demand. And that's what He does in the case of Joseph. The psalmist says Joseph was sent before the need for him arose. Now, you may be in a strange place in your life right now, but God has sent you where you are. He has put you where you are because He's not just a God who sees the right now. He sees the past and the future in one big fat now. God sees the future as surely as we see the past. I know it's mind-boggling, but see, because He knows the future, He knows exactly where the hunger is going to be. So He sends the thirst-quenching drink before we even know we're thirsty. He sends the food before we even know we're hungry. And in Joseph's case, he had to get little Joe into Egypt. And did you know the Bible says it was forbidden to go to Egypt? So Joseph goes through this horrible turmoil. If you look at his life horizontally, it's a horror story. I mean, little boy anointed and favored by daddy with a beautiful coat is envied by his brothers. But you know, before his brother's envy even kicked in, God had sent him ahead into Egypt. No matter what the devil's doing in your life, God is superintending all of those specifics. Whether you like to hear that or not, he has been superintending every bit of this because he sends the supply before the demand. He sent Joseph into Egypt. And now Joseph was the key to Egypt. He was crafted from the womb to rule Egypt. But do you think he looked like an Egypt ruler, history maker, world shaker when he was handcuffed as a little boy, sold into slavery, and there he is on the slave market sitting next to 500 other people? Did some people look at you and they don't see much when they look at you either? And they don't see that you're the key, you're the mineral, you're the vitamin, you're the very thing that some people are going to need in the future, but God sent the supply before the demand. So before Joseph was even needed, he sent Joseph before the demand for Joseph existed. And God is doing the same thing. But I want you to see, this principle is all throughout the Bible. It's like a little child that's asleep and mother knows and anticipates that she's going to be in the throes of a fever, and she leaves an aspirin and a glass of water. And when the little girl wakes up, she looks right at the answer because God sends the supply before the demand. Now, if a mama can have that much foresight, what can God do? Do you remember in Genesis 22, just as Abraham is ready to raise the knife and kill Isaac, it says a ram was caught in the thicket. See, God already sent the supply before the demand. There was a ram needed for sacrifice. God made sure there was a ram. And when you get right to the corner and the crossroads where you absolutely have to have provision, God has already sent the supply before the demand. See, he knew you'd be thirsty. He knew you'd be hungry. He knew you'd be hopeless. He knew you'd be lonely. And just when you hit the point of acknowledging it is when he comes through. But he was there all the time. Jehovah Jireh, the Hebrew means he'll see to it in the future tense. God already future see. He sees what your thirst is, your hunger is, your condition is, and he sends the supply before the demand. When we say it's your time, what we mean is what God has been developing in you over a whole season of your life is just about to be revealed. In Joseph's story, first, God sent the supply before the demand, but the second point is, what did God send to Egypt? He sent a person, not a principle. You don't need another principle in your life. I have 5 snappy principles that you can use when you're suicidal. First of all, take the muzzle out of your mouth. You don't need a principle in the middle of the night. You need love with skin on it. You need a person. You don't need a snappy little pithy saying, and that's wonderful, and God bless cliches. But God did not send a principle to Egypt. He sent a person. He sent a person, and he sent Joseph. God didn't marry you to work for him. He doesn't want your works. He wants you. He loves you. He doesn't want to anoint your gift. He wants to anoint your life. He sent the supply before the demand. He sent Joseph before anyone would even know they needed him. He's doing the same with you. Secondly, he sent Joseph. Joseph was the mineral and vitamin the Egyptians were going to need. God married you because he loves you and he loves to be with you. And any works that you do is just an outflow of that intimate relationship. Amen. I see Christians that are human doings and not human beings. I want to get them a t-shirt that says, God almost loves me. Just one more good work. Just grunt a little more. Just hump and pump and move. Loved one, he didn't marry you to work for him. And sometimes we are even led to believe in Christian circles that that's the fact. It's a lie. Rebuke it as such. He just wants to say, come away, my beloved. Let me behold your form. Read the Song of Songs. The Song of Solomon is an intimate love poem about a beloved who is interested in only one thing, and that is spending intimate, face-to-face time. Not, shall we go jogging? Let's go to the circus. It's intimate time. God didn't marry you to work for him. Now, if you happen to be used by him, that's wonderful, but that's a byproduct of your intimacy, and that is not the foundation of your acceptance. Well, this is good stuff, I'm telling you. I don't know. I might be wrong, but I think this is very good. Much better than you're responding. Wave a hanky, shout, swing from a chandelier, do something, my God, my God. He sends the supply before the demand. Did you know that he sent you into the station of life where you are before anyone even sees your value, even before you can see your value? But secondly, he sent a person. Now, you know, God has crafted you all of your life to bring you to this present moment. Every circumstance you've gone through is a crushing that has produced oil, a crushing that has produced wine. Everyone wants the oil, but nobody wants the crushing. Joseph didn't look like the key to Egypt. You know, a little boy with his voice changing, that just got betrayed, a coat ripped off him, thrown in a pit, sold into slavery, and then he's falsely accused of rape and thrown in prison for 13 years. What are you in for?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, like every one of us, huh? Abraham Lincoln used to tell the story of the governor that visited the prison, and he interviewed all the inmates, and he finally got to one inmate, and he said, what did you do? He said, I did everything they told me to do. And the governor said, we got to get you out of here before you corrupt all these other guys. Joseph was the only guy doing the time that didn't do the crime, really, in history. He's probably the only one. And he's sitting in the position of a slave imprisoned. And he was innocent. But did you know that God sends a person, not a principle? And the third point, he uses mysterious means. God used a weird means to get Joseph to Egypt. Did you know good boys weren't to go to Egypt? Did you know the people of God were forbidden to go to Egypt? Egypt, the type of the world. We are not to go down to the world to try to find cotton candy comfort for our soul. This world offers gold, gals, and glory, the three G's. Or gold, guys, and glory. The devil has three weapons on his belt. He's never needed any more to take you down just like that. Gold, gals, and glory. Money, sex, and power. If you get over the possessions thing and you get over the pleasure thing, then you're prideful that you're more holy than everybody else and the devil's got you. You see, three G's, that's it. That's it. That should be simple enough to put on your fridge. All right? Or your mirror. Today, will the three G's take me down? Gold, gals, and glory. Gold, guys, and glory. That's all there is. Money, sex, and power. Pleasures, possession, position. That's it. Oh, isn't that comforting? So from now on, when you see the one of the three, you can go, there it is. Oh, hi, devil. There you are. Oh, pleasures, possessions, power. Okay. See, once we manage those, well, here's poor Joseph, 13 years in prison. You wonder what's going through his mind. God, the call of God in your life is so weird. He's got to use mysterious means, and it'll even appear that he bends his own rules sometime to get you where you need to be. The people of God were forbidden to go to Egypt. God goes, but I want my boy to go to Egypt. We got to get Joe to Egypt. Now, how can we do this? Well, he's got that coat of many colors, bodyguards. He's his father's favorite. There's money. No, we have to bring a problem, strip that coat off him, use that envy in his brother's heart. So, you know, God does a lot of things at one time. He can do a lot of things simultaneously at one time. He's got envy in the hearts of his brothers coming against him. That's the problem. That's going to take his coat off, and that's going to put them in a place where they want to kill him, but they're not going to kill him, but they're going to leave him for dead. And did you know you may have been left for dead, but you're still alive? God still put a restriction on Job. He said, do what you want with him, but you can't kill him. So isn't that an encouraging word today? And everybody said, amen. Amen. So the devil can do everything but kill you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful word. Let's all load our guns now in Jesus' name. Point to your neighbor. Okay, no. I'm sorry. I'm trying to encourage you people. Calm down. All right. God used mysterious means to get Joseph from his father's house of cushy luxury over to Egypt. You're forbidden to go to Egypt. The Bible says don't go to Egypt. The Bible says everyone that ever went to Egypt got corrupted. Abraham went to Egypt and brought Hagar out. Whenever you go to Egypt, you always bring something back. I've got a weird itch right here. Yeah, I know. You were in Egypt, weren't you? You ran into something, didn't you? Oh, what a mystery to your history. But God wanted Joseph in Egypt. And so he uses this mysterious means and set of horrifying circumstances to send the supply before the demand, to send a person, not a principle, and to use a mysterious means to do it. Now, God's plan for your life is different than the person sitting next to you, and you had to come up a different way. But I'm going to encourage you today. Everything you've been through has made you who you are today. Everything, every crushing little olive has produced the oil that is dripping out of your life. Don't you think you took God by surprise? He knew before your grandmother was conceived the choices you were going to make. He knew before your great-grandfather was conceived every wrong turn you take on the road, and he sovereignly set it to where you're going to get right back up on the freeway as though you never got off that off-ramp. He's a mighty God. Someone say amen this morning. He sent Joseph before there was any need for Joseph. He sent the supply before the demand. He sent the message before the mess even happened. The testimony before the test even happened. And he sent salvation before we ever saw a need for it. I hear people say, I found Jesus. Well, he's been there all along. You see, God sent the supply before the demand, and the Son of God 2,000 years ago died in your place, and you just happened to come to the point where you saw your need, and the moment you humbled yourself, salvation rushed in because he sent the supply before the demand. Before you even knew you were thirsty, there was the glass of water. What a mighty God. And he sends a person, not a principle. He sent Joseph. You are unique in your world. You are unique in your family. There's nobody like you. I don't care if you look like Uncle Bob or Uncle Steve. Doesn't matter how similar. You're unique. You're utterly fashioned by God as Joseph was for a specific door. Every key fits in a different little slot. Remember in Matrix, the key master, the guy's got all those keys that open any door? You know what? You are a unique key. Joseph was the key to Egypt. Joseph was born and crafted in the womb to rule Egypt under Pharaoh's authority. And I don't know what your call. It may not be that august. It may not be that high, but it's going to be that unique. And he's sending you. You're going to be the mineral and vitamin they need. Did you know there are some people that cannot, I know it's inconceivable, some people cannot stand me. Isn't that shocking? I mean, they can't stand the sound of my voice. If I they run with their Bibles from the room, and I can't reach them, and I never will. If anything at all, I'd push them into hell. All right? Now, but they'll hear you when they won't hear me. Because, see, you're a mineral and vitamin that they need. Joseph was the mineral and vitamin prepared for Egypt. God sent the supply before the demand. He sent a person, not a principle. He used unorthodox means to get him to Egypt. And he's used unorthodox means to bring you to the place that you are right now. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Joseph is waiting in prison. You think he's not attacked in the middle of the night? What did I do wrong? What the heck did I do? You know, somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have screwed up real bad. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. You know, you start thinking, fourth watch of the night. Been in prison now for 10 years and never did rape the woman. Hello? You know, come on, he had the dark night of the soul just like you did. Yet he didn't realize he was steeping. He was like fine wine in a wine cellar. And when you are going through seasons of darkness and affliction in the cellars of God, look for the choicest wines. If someone would have said, it's your time, Joseph, he would have said, oh, don't give me that positive new gospel pep talk. Listen, here's the good news. God sent the supply before the demand. He sent a person, not a principle. He sent the very key to Egypt. And he used mysterious means to do it. But here's the fourth point. God struck the earth at the right time with a famine for Joseph. Did you know God will bring the famine required for you to emerge? A hunger for you. A thirst for you. When there's three people up for that promotion, you're going to wind up being the mineral and the vitamin right now that they're hungry for and thirsty for, and they're going to have a famine in their heart for you. Did you know there's some friends in your life that you can just spend time around them all the time? They're just the mineral and vitamin you need, and you have a famine for them, a passion for them. Think of the last time you were really thirsty and really hungry. God literally had to bring a famine to the whole world in order for a moment to emerge where they could say to Joseph, Joseph, it's your time. All these years developing, all the gifts and abilities you've been given, the fact that God moved you to Egypt and he sent the supply before the demand. I know you haven't looked like it, but it's your time. And did you know Joseph, the Bible says, was in not any prison. He was in the king's prison. He wasn't in Folsom with a boy named Sue. He was in the king's prison. That means the king's prisoners were in that prison. It was no ordinary prison. There were shackles. It was painful. It wasn't a country club. But I want you to know, the prison you're in right now is the King's prison. You're in the right place at the right time with the right people. And the relationships that are in your life right now are going to prove to be ordained by the King. Joseph's a dreamer. You know, his life began with a dream of his brothers bowing before him, and then he worked on the dreams of others and helped them come true, and then one day it was a dream that brought him to his destiny. Pharaoh had a dream he couldn't understand. He said, I don't understand. I saw cows in a vision, and I saw lean ones eat up fat ones, and I don't know what's going on. And did you know when Joseph was in the king's prison, he had given a few prophecies to some people? Did you know sometimes you sow into other people's lives and they forget all about you for a season? You help them when they're down, you pay their bills, you love on them, you give the best you can to them, and they turn right around like a donkey and kick you in the face and forget about you. Well, that happened to Joseph. He was down there with the cupbearer of the king, and he gave him a prophecy. He said, you know, I had a dream. He said, you know what? You're going to be restored to favor to Pharaoh. And Joseph said, oh, by the way, please remember me. You ever said that to someone? Hey, you're on the way up. Please remember me when you meet President Obama. Please remember me when you refer a ministry. Please remember. And the Bible says that that cupbearer was returned to favor of Pharaoh, and he forgot Joseph. 2 years went by. Oh, the last 2 years are the hardest. Some of you are in the last 2 years. That what I mean is, you're just, it's about your time. It's just about your time. It's just about your Joseph time to come forth. But it's those last waiting hours, like a pregnant woman. Oh, it's the last. It's like, get this thing out of here. You know, there is no comfort. You can't, if you try to comfort them, you better not be within hitting range. All things will pass, and soon you will forget this pain for the great joy that a life has been born into the... You know, get this thing out of here, you know. I was in one situation when the woman just got started to get up, said, I'm done. I'm getting up. I'm going. Where are you going? Go out in the field and drop the kid like all the other people did and then come back and make me dinner. But there's a place where you get so pregnant, you're so ready to deliver that you're at that point where you're going to snap. And believe me, loved one, God knows that point. He knows exactly what your limit is. He knows exactly where you are in the king's prison. And the last 2 years are the hardest. But hold on, because 2 years had passed, yet Pharaoh had a dream. And Joseph was remembered by the cupbearer. God's going to cause some people to remember you. They're going to be writing a check going, and they remember your ministry. Oh, remember so-and-so, write it to them. They're going to be needing someone to fill a job, a play. They're going to remember, oh, remember he applied 2 years ago. So the cupbearer mentioned to Pharaoh, oh, Pharaoh, 2 years ago, I had a personal prophecy from a guy in prison. Pharaoh said, go get him. And the Bible says that Joseph shaved and bathed. Last time you would ever take a bath in that prison. Last time you would ever shave in that prison. Some of you are going to have your last shave and your last bath in that prison you've been in. And that door became an antidoor to the throne. He walked right through that prison door once and for all, right into Pharaoh's presence and right to the place of prominence. Because God brought a famine that required him. I don't know what your famine is. What it is it's something that happens that makes people thirsty for exactly what you are. Exactly who you are. No one else can do but you. No one else could interpret Pharaoh's dream but Joseph. No one else. And whatever God's going to do with you, it's not going to require you to hump and pump and work and scream and yell and scratch the chalkboard with your nails. It's going to be something that emerges effortlessly because there's going to be a famine and a hunger for you. Did you know God knows just how to bring a famine that will cause you to realize your time? It's your time. It's your time. And when it's your time, it's no one else's time. When it's your no one can hold your place that you have in the body of Christ. No one can fill the place God has called you to. It's uniquely yours. And I want to encourage you. He has sent the supply before the demand. He sent you already and placed you. He sent a person, not a principle. You're the person. He's used mysterious means. Yes, he's a strange God sometimes, but he's brought you to where you need to be because he's just about to bring a famine that's going to reveal you. You're just like a jewel. You were forged in darkness under great pressure, and they've been cutting the facets, and they've been polishing you with diamond dust, and all of a sudden you're ready, and now you're just ready for the setting. Whether God's going to put you in a necklace, a tiara, a ring setting, doesn't matter. The hard work is over. The roughest work is done. You know, as a church, the hardest things for us have passed over us. Now it's time for blessing. We've got all the things money can't buy. Now money can't hurt us. Gold, gals, or glory. It's not going to hurt us. See? God's been purging our heart. He's been purging your heart. It's your time. And loved one, I want you to start believing that. I want you to start saying that to yourself. Because the enemy's going to tell you it's not your time. You're not valuable. You're not a mineral and vitamin for anyone. God's never sent you anywhere. Loved one, the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he's been a liar from the beginning. Whatever he says, believe the opposite. I don't care if a parent told you. I don't care if a family member told you. God has sent the supply before the demand. It's you. He sent the person, not the principal. That person is you. He's used every means possible, and he will soon bring about the famine that will make it your time. And I don't know how it's going to come, but that's what I'm going to pray for right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the right famine to strike our dear friend's life right now that will call them forth for their hour of greatness, that will summon them and their talent and their gift and their ability, Jesus, all under the sound of my voice, that they'll hear resonating in their spirit, it's your time, it's your time, it's your time, and it's going to be an effortless time. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. We thank you that we're going to be well-equipped and overqualified for the job that you've called us to do. And it's going to be something that's effortless, and it's going to be something that flows freely from our gifts and abilities and talents. It's going to be something that produces the most amount of fruit with the least amount of effort. And we trust you, Christ, that you have been in charge of every crushing of our lives so that the oil and the wine through that crushing will bless the world. Father, we submit ourselves freely again to you. We humble ourselves before you in your sight. And we ask that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in and through our hearts, in and through our lives. Even before our loved ones and everyone that we care so much about, we surrender at your altar, Jesus. We yield our past, present, and future into your hand. And we ask you to bless us in Jesus' name. Someone say amen. Give the Lord some praise. Yeah. Give him some praise.